Good morning, radio family, and welcome. It is good to be back with you, the weekend edition of Community Focus. I'm Renee Vaughn. I really do appreciate the great company, and thank you for tuning in on our intercom stations, our public affairs show that you can hear every Saturday and Sunday mornings. On Saturdays, right around 7:30. On Sundays, right around that 6 o'clock hour, and just a few minutes after 7 o'clock on Sunday as well, give or take a minute. Well, taking a minute to not only welcome you, radio family, and to thank you for the good things you continue to do in our communities, here's another great morning to sit down with members of our Community Focus family. We have the newest ones joining us. They're going to tell us more about a great organization or organization known as Technology for the Future. I want to say good morning. And Adrian, if you don't mind, I like to do ladies first.
No problem.
On the program. Good morning to Deborah Ford. And Adrian, I hope I'm pronouncing the last name correctly. Is this Martinka?
It's a soft C, Martinsa.
Martinsa. Thank you. Well, I tried. Adrian. But thank you very much. Good morning to you both. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you on board. Well, let's get started with the conversation. Speaking of technology for the future start, how did this actually come about? What's the history behind it, if you will?
I've been involved in the IT industry for my family's businesses. Mm-hmm. My father was a jeweler, and I had a family business, so I was always in charge of making sure that we had the technology my family needed to make sure that they can be successful. And a lot of times, right, you have to create innovative solutions to make the technology that people need more affordable, right? Because
exactly,
there's a lot of things that hold back not only individuals but businesses as well from being able to be successful that ties into technology itself. So I kind of grew up around finding ways to create accessible solutions, and that brought me towards realizing that there are tons of kids out there and people who are really in need to be able to connect to information, and the best way to do that is using a computer. So
exactly,
the network I built up over time, mm-hmm, has over 3,000 members throughout the,
wow,
United States,
yeah,
which is different vendors and people who can help sustain the products that these kids need. So we started a program where, well, we started a nonprofit where, mm-hmm, we can ensure that every student has the ability to connect.
That's a fantastic backstory. A couple of additional questions with that, Adrian. How long did you work for your dad, and how did the relationship really come about with you and Deborah coming together to actually form Technology for the Future?
Well, with my father, I've always been at his side since I was little, so I,
yeah,
was around business my entire life.
Right.
So he kind of helped guide me to being able to, like, do everything in the right way and be successful. So he believed in me.
Nice.
And in this, on this path, I was able to meet Debbie, and she was actually looking at the nonprofit, and we started talking, mm-hmm, because we met actually on Facebook.
Okay.
And she really liked the cause that we have, and
right,
she always believed that we need to support our kids.
Absolutely. And that's a nice transition. Thank you for that, Adrian, because, well, one, Debbie, when we got in contact through my boss, and she informed me that you were part of Technology for the Future, she said this would make a great interview. I couldn't agree with her more. And then when she forwarded the email to me, the one thing that caught my attention was, one, the spelling of your name is exactly the same as my mother, who happens to be Deborah as well. So I said, oh, I like you already. No, just kidding. But as far as having this opportunity here on Community Focus to meet you, tell us a little bit about yourself to our audience this morning.
With Technology for the Future, I am the community liaison.
Very nice.
And my goal is, along with Adrian, is that every child in the United States should have access to a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And it caught my attention because the passion that Adrian has for the kids and giving them the exposure to technology is what caught my attention.
Absolutely.
And with me, as far as my background, I've been in business and baking for a long time.
Wow.
So now this technology for the future gives me the opportunity to not only to give kids scholarships, mm-hmm. but it also fulfilled a passion for children.
Absolutely. And with that said, do the two of you, do you see the excitement in the kids when they have the opportunity, especially when we look at the technology that is available for them compared to how things were when we were coming up? Now, I know we represent different age groups in this room, but I remember, especially being at that particular age where there was no Facebook, there was no social media, there were no iPods, there were no MP3s, none of that was around for a lot of us listening to the program. But obviously for our kids, that's the norm for them. That's all they've ever known. But how exciting is it for each of you to see kids embrace technology as it changes and as it grows?
I almost find it really fascinating because we have these schools and different groups of people mm-hmm. where kids express the fact that they need a computer to even check their homework, yet
right.
they don't have one. So mm-hmm. when we bring it up to them, we've had kids literally cry just because wow. they haven't had the opportunity to be able to use a computer. And a lot of kids don't look at a computer as simply as something they can play on. Like, we have kids that are 12, 13 years old that have their own YouTube channels, and they like to make videos to motivate their friends, or nice. We have kids that go on websites like Code Canyon and they learn to code. So there's a lot of value that can be created for our children with a computer. But the first step, which is why our nonprofit started our program, which is the One Child, One Computer, One Future. Mm-hmm. And we view it as a movement, because unless our children feel that they are believed in by our communities, because it takes a community to raise a child.
Very true.
And if we make sure that they're believed in and we give them a resource such as a computer in the right way, meaning that we bring them and introduce them towards their own computer as something that they can use to gather information and to learn and to achieve their dreams, meanwhile sharing the perspectives that other children have as well, so that way it creates a positive influence between the children themselves. They'll be brought to utilizing technology in a way that can actually help them achieve pretty much anything. So, especially in today's world when everything is utterly dependent on computers, we just have to kind of, as adults and community leaders, realize that, you know, we feel uncomfortable not having a phone. And we don't, because we grew up into this generation where we went through the transition of technology
right.
and how it's necessary. But we forget that our kids were pretty much born into that necessity, but we don't approach it that way.
Yeah,
because we were phased into it. But we have to make sure our children as well have the same access, because they're actually more dependent on it mm-hmm. than we were, the millennials and our X generation.
Some very good points. And I really appreciate, Adrian, going back to you stating, because with everything that the kids are now doing, they're doing it in a positive way. And that has a lasting impact mm-hmm. when we talk about technology for the future. Likewise for you, Debbie. Or should I call you Deborah? Do you have a preference? I know Adrian does, because you guys are close, but I'm new to this. So
either is okay.
Okay.
My experience, I went home about a week ago, and the kids from the boxing team, one more round in Darlington, mm-hmm. two of them had filled out their application, which they said was very simple to do.
Right.
And they wrote a beautiful essay about how technology will help them in the future. And Adrian packs these boxes like a present. And when I gave the kids their laptop, mm-hmm. they were so excited. And then when they open it, they say, oh, this is a present. It's like it was Christmas for them. And Adrian also put like lollipops and instructions
nice.
In there.
Nice.
And the first thing they grab, say, oh, we got candy. So it is so exciting. And for me to experience that personally and to take something home to my hometown was so amazing. And some of the churches in that area, and this is Hartsville, South Carolina, which is Darlington County, are reaching out to Adrian for the labs in the box. So I encourage everyone, please go online to technologyforthefuture.org. Encourage your kids to fill out the application as well as the essay and the video. And I tell you, they will be full of joy and excitement.
Absolutely. And thank you for bringing the joy and excitement here to our public affairs show. Wonderful story. And Debbie, I just wanted to share with you as an aside, I had family that were from South Carolina. I had a grandmother from Bennettsville and Sherrah. So we were talking earlier about family and family trees. So when you or someone approaches you and say, you know, you look familiar, we might be related. Hey, one never knows. But I want to thank you both for being with us. This is just the first half of the program. And just already in the first few moments, just some excellent things that are taking place with technology for the future. And this really is only the beginning. I want to acknowledge the fact that even though three of us are talking, we have four people total in the room. So I want to recognize everybody, including you, Radio Family, to thank you for your great company. I have Deborah, a.k.a. Debbie Ford, in the house. I have Adrian Martinsa. Did I get it right there? Thank you. Yes. Give me one shot to mess it up, Adrian. I'll try to get it right the rest of the way. And I also want to recognize Trey in the house. I'm going to wave to you, Trey. Thank you so much.
And Trey is actually our product engineer.
Oh, excellent.
Because we're working on a few of our own computer lines.
Fantastic.
So he's great. NC State, and he's helping us develop things so that way we can better help the students.
Very nice. Well, Troy, we're going to talk about you some more in the second half of the program. But definitely great conversation and a great topic of discussion continues. More of the weekend edition of Community Focus will return right after this. It's more the weekend edition of Community Focus. Thank you again for your great company. If you are just joining us, you have picked a fine time. Thank you for listening here on our intercom stations. I, Renee Vaughn, along with members of our Community Focus family. They're really not newbies anymore. I didn't say this at the beginning, but usually if this is your first time, you're a first timer, by the time we get to the commercial break, the newbie title is officially removed. So that officially makes you members of our Community Focus family.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. I have Debbie Ford along with Adrian Martinsa, and we are talking about technology for the future, where the founder wanted to utilize the networks that are available to him, and that would be you, Adrian, as a positive support system for technology for students and the communities. And as we continue, I wanted to ask, how do we as a community look at technology in light of a student's education?
You know, I think that technology has grown into a very important aspect of every education system, but the hardest aspect of utilizing technology is the fact that it holds a very large proportion of it that is distracting, right? And unless we guide students towards using technology where they actually feel like they're capable with it, you know, it is very difficult to have ease of implementation with the computer systems that are being spread out throughout schools and into children's hands. But that's where we are trying to come in and bridge the gap of those who do not have the ability to connect to the internet or to connect to any information or their schoolwork, and be able to provide them the computer that they need. But meanwhile, focusing on the most important aspect, which is that our children, for them to be able to succeed, we must make sure that they feel believed in, which will derive the sensation that they are capable people. And in turn, if they have a computer at the same time, they'll be able to look towards their passions or dreams and find ways to achieve them, which will help heighten their level of self-regard and self-belief, which is the goal of any education system, because education is not about learning facts. It's not just about learning facts. It's about learning how to utilize information for your life and for what you want and for what you need to learn about yourself and your peers. So we really want to make sure that our movement, as I call it, mm-hmm. is something that is harnessed by communities and parents and community leaders. Like, we have a lot of churches that work with us where they take up our program and get computers and help teach STEM programs for the students, where they teach them how to code, like I mentioned
right.
earlier, and they teach them how to harness their own passions in a way that actually helps them for their future.
So this is a really great way, Adrian, to bring not only the local but non-local communities together as a whole for our kids. And you're shaking your head in agreement there, Debbie. I appreciate it. Any feedback on you on that same question? How do we look at the technology in light?
Well, the technology should be, as we said, accessible. Mm-hmm. And that's a big word, accessible.
It really is.
As you travel throughout the United States, and even in the local areas, you're talking about Bennettsville mm-hmm. in South Carolina, and Hartsville and Darlington and Florence, you realize that although technology, we all have it, but do we really? That's the question. Because I ran across so many children that does not.
You know, it's interesting because I was thinking the same thing. Adrian, as I was listening to you, that thought, and I guess a picture to go along with it mentally, popped in my mind, especially when we think about how many schools alone there are in just the United States. And if we were to have the opportunity to go to every single school in all 50 states of the United States, how many of those schools don't have that accessibility to not just computers, but just to technology as a whole? And you may be thinking, at least I am, I'm like, really, in 2017, that's still the case.
Yeah. I think it's, and don't quote me on this, but I think it's less than 50% mm-hmm. of schools that have even the enough technology to be able to, like, utilize the systems that are available to them.
Right.
But we just went to Ohio a few weeks back because mm-hmm. one of my friends became a new superintendent of a school there. And what was crazy is that this is a school with 300 kids, and they literally didn't have a single computer lab wow. yet. Something happened where basically they were supposed to take their state exams mm-hmm. and the state exams were predefined to be taken online. So the entire mm-hmm. school wasn't even able to do the state testing just wow. because they don't have like two labs. So overnight we drove up to Ohio with 50 computers. We put in a new wireless system and got them all going. So that way, it was on Friday night, and Monday they had exams. So wow. we were able to like help them out. But that type of thing isn't a solution that our organization can't affordably provide, because our goal with the resources we have is that we can maintain, for every $100 that we receive in donations or in sponsorship or whatever, we can ensure that a computer that is of corporate grade is provided mm-hmm. to any institution or child.
Absolutely. And Debbie, my apologies. As my grandmother used to say, sometimes you got to say things while they're on your mind before you forget them. So I did not mean to cut you off, but if you wanted to continue in responding to that same question, feel free to go right ahead.
Speaking of, when I was talking about churches in my hometown, mm-hmm. My brother, Pastor Christopher Frazier, is a pastor at Mount Olive Word of Life. And he had reached out to me because I was telling him about Adrian. Mm-hmm. And they needed a reading lab for the kids in the after school program. Mm-hmm. And he was so excited to have the opportunities for the children in Hartsville to have a place to come mm-hmm. after school and be tutored. Right. So we do have several successful stories, but that is one that touched
yes.
my heart greatly.
And we're going to share some others, time allotting here on the program. So please, both of you, keep those stories in the back of your mind. That transitions nicely to the next question. And Adrian, you touched on this. And we're going to shorten technology for the future here with TFTF.
That's what we call it.
I like that, TFTF. Yeah. How does it plan to bring, speaking of the local and non-local communities together?
Well, I think that our entire application process mm-hmm. mm-hmm. which was somewhat difficult to establish at first because yeah. our goal is always the children, but then we always get feedback where people think that we should define how we qualify our students by like income or different types of black and white statistics. Mm-hmm. But the reality that comes into place is the fact that no matter the income level that a student comes from, sometimes they don't have the opportunity to have their own computer.
Very true.
And you can't judge a child essentially based off of a home environment, no matter what the perception is. So in that way, our application process is designed to for local communities, whether it's children working with children or adults working with children or organizations like churches or schools. But the goal is to guide them through our application process. So mm-hmm. we create a type of relationship where we form a unity that creates a form of faith that the children feel believed in. So they get guided through the application process where they look at technology. We mm-hmm. ask them to look at how they perceive it on a general level.
Right.
And then we ask them to tell us three unique ways that they believe they could achieve their dreams. Like, we don't want to know how you're going to do your homework. We want to know, what will it do for you as a person? Right. Like, what can you learn? Like, what are your passions that you want to know about? And how are you going to use this computer? So that way, the first initial step is basically working as a community and looking towards our children's passions and interests, and then channeling that towards being able to utilize this technology as a solution for that.
And Adrian and Debbie, when you ask these particular questions for these wonderful group of kids, I can only imagine some of the feedback that you receive or get back in return in that way. And by the way, what particular age group as far as your kids are we talking here?
Our main focus is K through 12.
Okay.
But the program is open to everyone, but that K through 12 receives priority.
Gotcha.
But then also, because we've had a lot of adults approach us because mm-hmm. they want a computer for mm-hmm. work or whatever, and all our computers are pretty much set up for a standard where they're sufficient for any user.
Okay.
So we ended up opening up a product line on our website where they're also available for purchase, and we utilize it to help fund the donations in turn.
Excellent.
So that way it creates a form of sustainability.
Fantastic. The reason I asked about the age range, because getting back to the questions and what you would like to hear from the students, especially for the younger ones, you know, as I'm sure many of us, as we were at that particular age, we were never short of conversation. When somebody would ask you a question, you're like, okay, didn't expect it to be that long of a response. But it's still got to be a great feeling to know that our children do. They really see themselves as doing something and as being somebody. And the fact that they have the technology that's there to help them in the process. Because I tell you, as much time as I spend around young ones on a regular basis, it just fascinates me to see them with a cell phone, to see them with a tablet, to just see them with any type of electronic device. Now, here I am struggling as the adult that I am, but to see kids as young as 4 or 5 just pick it up with a quickness, it's just amazing to me. Absolutely amazing. Well, how does the program, Adrian and Debbie, help the students? Let's talk about that.
The program for the students and what it would help them achieve, not only writing their reports, mm-hmm. doing their research, it really will help them in school. I was speaking to one of the kids at the school that attends school, and she mm-hmm. was saying that the school give them laptops, but they take them away from them when the school is out.
Okay, wow.
So they, over the summer, mm-hmm. they don't have access to right. technology, and a lot right. of them don't have transportation to mm-hmm. get to the library. So this will help them have their own.
Absolutely.
And be able to read and study and be up on their subjects when they attend school the next year.
And what I like about that, Debbie and Adrian, is that if you really think about it, learning itself doesn't take a break. So why should the kids? Mm-hmm. So how grateful that with technology for the future, that's another thing. Because even during the summer months when kids are physically out of school, their brains, they're still working around the clock. So you certainly want to give them that educational nourishment, if you will. And how nice to be able to do it through use of the computer. Same question towards you, Adrian, if you care to expand on that. How does the program help the students?
Well, I think one of the main things that, and I like to circle around this because I think it's the most important thing, is that students need to feel believed in. So the first step is having the communities work together to make the students feel believed in and supported, providing the students with tools that they can use to become capable of achieving their dreams. And as long as they have the tools and the support, they create opportunities, and that creates windows for achieving their dreams. Yeah. And that's the most important thing. So we want all the students that are out there, or parents, to bring us students that can go to technologyforafuture.org and please guide them through the application process and make sure that you give them the time that they need to understand that they can be as capable as they choose. They just have to look at the vast world of the internet, and the information it holds is something that's literally there for them. All they have to do is want it. Exactly. And believe that they want it.
Exactly. And I thank you, Adrian, not only for your compassion for young persons, but your passion in what you do and how you genuinely care for the future of a lot of our children. Debbie, I'm sure you noticed that right away when the two of you first met, hence why you have such a wonderful and cohesive relationship with this nonprofit and Technology for the Future. And Adrian, you did such a fine job in answering the next question, how do students apply? And as you said, they can go to technologyforthefuture.org, and they can actually apply with either a written or video application. How does the video application part of it work?
Well, we have, so basically when you, the questionnaire or questions we have for the application process, a student can upload a video or an essay. So it's like one or the other. So you can either express your understanding for technology and what you're going to do with the computer you want from us in either of those formats. But the video submissions are pretty interesting because a lot, we've had students that are really young use their parents' iPhone and create the most intricate videos.
Wow.
You would think that it was done in a studio.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because even that itself is like proof that look what kids can do,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Like adults in our generation get paid a lot of money to do stuff like that, yet you can have a 10-year-old do video that you think was done professionally.
Exactly.
You know? And that's exactly what we want.
You're
we want
on.
To pull that out of children, pull out their ability to be successful and achieve something just because we believe in them.
That's fantastic. Now, Mary, see, we were talking about this earlier. You look like a friend of mine. You two could be twins. Debbie, I'm sorry. What is the process for helping students? Let's talk about that.
The process is that once they fill out the application, the essay, or the video, we go through those. We read everything. We watch every video. And we reach out to them and let them know that they receive a scholarship for a computer.
Right.
So that's the process.
Okay. It's pretty straightforward and to the point, radio family. And speaking of which, for our listening audience, Debbie and Adrian, what do you need from us as a community and for those of us tuning in to our public affairs show today?
Well, it's actually we need three things that are really important to us.
Sure.
One, which is the most important, is for anyone that can to help bring us applicants. You know, the registration process is very, like, short. It doesn't take that much as long as there's genuine regard and understanding. That's the first step, and we want to make sure all students are supported. But then also with local communities, of course, we have to be able to maintain our ability to supply these students with computers. So any donations or sponsorships or any types of partnerships are always welcome. So we urge anyone to be able to reach out to us. And you can do that through our website, technologyforthefuture.org. And let us know in how we can work together. Because for us, it's about working together and creating solutions. And lastly is just about getting the word out. So outside of just getting applicants and being able to sustain our funding, just getting the word out about our program and being able to reach as many people as possible so that way this can truly be something that creates a national impact.
Absolutely. And Adrian just wonderfully said, because I'm appreciative in another sense, that we're doing just that. We're getting the word out here on the weekend.
Thank
oh, you're so welcome.
Yes,
anytime.
Thank you.
Anytime. That's why, again, I appreciate having a public affairs show such as Community Focus. But let's talk about what are some of the options for adults and other persons who are interested in the cause. You likely do have some people listening that say, hey, I like what technology for the future is all about. What can I do to contribute?
Well, the first step is to always look around you, you know, see the kids that are in your communities, whether they're your own kids or kids at your church or at the school, you know, and share the program with anyone you can. So again, we get our applicants to register. And one of the other things is keep in mind that, you know, we don't fully realize that our own inability in a sense of being able to let go of our phones is just as stressful for students in their path to education. So we want to make sure that everyone can be helped. And of course, the adults out there, we don't want to leave them out either. And we actually sat down as a team today and we created a special community offer to anyone in your local community that's listening. So if anyone out there is interested, and since our program is for children, so you wouldn't be able to apply for a laptop scholarship as an adult, but we'd like to offer you a special promo code for QMG where you can go online and you'll get an extra $20 off of any one of our computers, which can be very helpful because that'll give you a laptop that's really nice, really fast, reliable. It comes with a warranty for $90.
Wow.
You know? So,
and usually you can't put a price tag on that when it comes to laptops, especially very good quality ones. Very nice.
And corporate technology is really interesting because it's built on such a high scale level that even when you have a refurbished computer, it's actually on the same performance as a lot of new ones are.
Wow.
So you get a better price, but you also get the same performance level as you would. So
that's
like,
an excellent
point. It helps you
point.
All around.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes, Adrian, things don't always have to be new.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, well, I don't like to use the word used per se, but let's just say pre-owned is probably a better word, and some others that don't necessarily come to mind. But something that if it still works good, the old expression, if it ain't broke, you know the rest.
I mean, and computers only wear out. The main component in a computer that wears out is the hard drive.
Yeah.
And we're actually under the Microsoft network where we are a refurbisher as well. So so we have to actually make sure every single thing that goes out of our organization is guaranteed and has everything operational. So you're not really buying the sense of like a used computer because everything has to be maintained to the standards that we have to follow with our Microsoft refurbisher guidelines.
Excellent, Adrian, and thank you for pointing that out to us here on the program. Now, we touched on this a little bit earlier, but to go into more detail, how do you work with the sponsors who have an opportunity to team up with Technology for the Future?
One of the greatest opportunities we've actually found from companies is that there are a lot of companies out there that have their own community, their own family,
right?
So, for example, the United Auto Workers Union was able to share our program with their parents, and a lot of the kids were able to get computers through our program.
Wow.
So there's people in everyone's community that can be helped. It's just a matter of looking and being able to create that type of focus. But the other thing is that when companies take up the community initiative, it actually helps them because they create an opportunity for marketing and an opportunity to reach out and truly show that they care about the community. So it's a very good marketing effort where we join forces and give out the laptops together and create events around it as well to create that positive impact.
Absolutely. And Adrian and Debbie, one thing that I really appreciate about the two of you and about Technology for the Future as a whole is that when we talk about the help it's coming from so many different directions. Those in our community, whether it's local or non-local, but it's especially the help that's coming through donations. It's coming through, really, in a sense, volunteerism, because very likely you have parents and other members of the community who want to help you in this process of making sure that that technology is accessible for all of our kids. As you mentioned earlier, Adrian, the focus really being on K through 12, but at the same time also helping us as adults. Some of us may be going back to school. Some of us may be doing it just for the purpose of helping our kids. You know, I remember a time when I had those difficult homework assignments, and it was like long before there was a homework hotline, mom and dad were it. You know, there wasn't somebody at the school per se, unless you stayed after school. But then even then, you really hopefully had somebody else to rely on to help you in solving that particular question. So many good things to see within this. Speaking of which, Debbie, you had a success story earlier in the show. We got about another minute or two. Adrian, do you have one that you would like to share this morning on Community Focus that comes to mind?
One of our applicants that I just recently did an interview with, her name was Armani. She actually sent us a video she made on her parents' phone, iPhone.
Yes.
And she was able to use her computer for doing online schooling, and she was able to graduate a year early.
Wow.
Just because she had her own computer.
Computer.
And she's one of the students that has her own YouTube channel. So, you know, it's really nice to see that just a simple computer can actually create such an impact for someone.
Absolutely. Well, a big congratulations to that young lady. And we can only imagine all the good things that are in store for her and really for a lot of the kids down the road. Well, Adrian and Debbie, I want to thank you both. Any closing thoughts or comments from each one of you before we wrap up?
I just want to remind everyone out there that please visit our website, technologyforthefuture.org. And any feedback or ideas or any type of sponsorship or support in any way is always appreciated. So we look forward to hearing from anyone.
Excellent. And Miss Debbie?
Please, please donate. We really would appreciate it. And sponsorship would be so amazing. Mm-hmm. Your life would change once you see the light in the child's eyes.
I couldn't have ended it better myself, other than to say once again, Adrian Martinsa.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And Debbie Ford. Thank you.
Thank you, Trey.
We want to say thank you as well. We're looking forward to the next time we can get you in the mix, which is a nice way of officially ending the program. Guys, no goodbyes from me just until next time. So please, let's stay in touch and really get you back on a future program and just get an update to hear more good things that no doubt will be taking place for technology for the future. So thank you, Radio Family. Appreciate it indeed. Until that next time. Likewise for you, Radio Family. I know that you're doing a lot of great things in our community as well. Let me, Renee, one final time, at least for this edition of Community Focus, thank you for what you're doing. Keep up the great work. Have a great day and a great rest of the weekend. We will chat again soon. Take care.